the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
And it is Friday, September 18th, 2020.
That is correct.
I'm looking at Casey through a web camera, which is how the entire nation looked at Casey today.
That's right.
As a virtual fan.
I got to be a virtual fan today. and tell you what, is that just not the weirdest, silliest thing that's ever happened?
It sounds like it.
Okay, so let me give you a rundown.
Big week in general.
Big week for me. I had a big Wednesday.
Yeah.
I got married.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. We had a great time, and we did it using the same program that I used to watch a basketball game.
Oh, did you? You did the wedding in Microsoft Teams?
Yes, we did, because the county of Los Angeles has a contract with Microsoft. Therefore, if you get married by the county of Los Angeles over the internet, they do it over Microsoft Teams.
Wow. Okay. And what is, we could start in a million different places. What's your overall feeling about Microsoft Teams?
I got to be honest with you. It's a real thumbs down for Microsoft Teams for me.
That's a shame.
The thing that is cool and why they're using it for the NBA, minus the fact that they have a partnership with Microsoft, is that there's this view called Together View. And it takes everybody's head and it cuts off their backgrounds and it puts them in chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Cool beans. What it is not is easy to figure out how to do it, why to do it, because nothing is labeled correctly. It's just images, right? And so, you know, you have a bunch of differently tech-enabled people who are trying to watch this Laker game because basketball surpasses tech, right?
Right. One of the more tech-savvy people that engaged with this process tonight.
Yeah, I was one of two people I saw of the 35 people that we were seated with in our section. Who had headphones on. There were multiple people watching from their cars. It was, you know, the entire, you know, I mean, people got to commute. Game starts at 6. Watching at 5:15 when you got to get in there. I understand it. Just one other kid in a gaming chair and headphones, and me with headphones. And it was a lot of fun. However, not the most ideal way to watch a basketball game on a generally feed that is.
Well, yeah. So what are you actually seeing? It's one of the shared screens or something?
Well, yeah. So the way that my computer monitor was situated, I had the Together View on one side of a screen and the game on the other side of the screen. So like little squares, like covering about a third of the screen each.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I would have preferred to have the game on one big screen and the Together on another screen. Microsoft Teams doesn't let you do that.
Do you mean no multiple monitor support? Or
That was a Mac problem, right? On a Mac, okay, you can't have a window that spans two monitors.
Right. I don't understand why that is. Actually, I think there is a way to do it if you, but you have to mess with the spaces. Yeah. Preferences, and it screws up some other stuff. I've had two monitors for a while now, and actually I've never quite clicked into like what's so great about having two monitors because of the spaces issue in Mac. There's a thing where like programs 80% of the time open on the screen that you left them in, but then sometimes they just don't.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, you open up mail and now it's on your main screen again.
There's some weird stuff with that. But
no chat between participants?
Lots of chat. Tons and tons of chat. Audio chat, text chat. Yeah, I mean, there's just one guy who got very drunk and complained about Giannis the entire time.
You guys are in a one big audio shared chat, which none of which is going to like ever make it to broadcast. So
no, none of that makes it to broadcast. So it just makes it to us. We were our own little section cheering on the Lakers, which was pretty fun. Like a lot of fun people. One guy who was trying to get everybody to drink shots, lots of people just like clapping and having fun.
And this was technically a Lakers home game. So it seemed like, from what I saw, it seemed like only Lakers gold was in the feed. It didn't seem like there were any Nuggets fans included in the sections that I saw. If there were, maybe they were like interspersed.
Yeah, they would have been interspersed. So the seats that I got were because Chris is on the wait list for Lakers season tickets.
I'm on the wait list for season tickets, and now it's looking even worse and worse that I didn't take it the 1 year I could have. Lonzo's first year, it was made available to me to purchase season tickets, and I just couldn't afford it because I've talked about this before, but you basically have to buy – you really have to buy 82 regular season tickets because no one wants to have one season ticket. That's weird.
Correct.
but if I had done that, I easily could be reselling them to cover the cost of the season now.
Yes. Yeah.
That was pre-LeBron.
Pre-LeBron. Yeah. Even without LeBron, you still could have made your money back.
Yeah, probably.
Because the Lakers commanded their money. So, watch the game, choppy feed through Microsoft Teams.
Mm-hmm.
Still a lot of fun. So much fun. Got to see myself on TV. Got my friends to watch TV and see me on the TV.
Cool.
You know, I was wearing the shirt that you printed me, a shiny hat, and a...
Because I saw they recommended everyone wear gold.
Yes.
Not forum blue.
The one Lakers jersey I don't have is a gold one.
Oh.
I have white. I have purple. I do not have a gold one.
I assume we need to get that corrected.
It's going to get corrected as soon as they allow people to print custom jerseys again.
Well, are they not selling any of the Black Lives Matter jerseys? I really think they should.
Some from the bubble.
Wow.
The ones that didn't have players' names on them, the ones that just had the slogans, and then those are going to go towards the social justice coalition funds that the NBA has started.
I really feel like I should be able to buy one that just says that I should be able to have the same choice of phrases that they were given and just send all my money to charity. Like, I would love that.
That would be great. They're not doing that.
And then when they have them custom, you could do that.
Yes. Yeah, you could. But the money wouldn't go to charity. The money would just go to, sporting goods.
Right. So, did you also have the game on your TV?
Did not. I was watching in my computer room. That was the only feed I had because I didn't want to worry. I didn't want to mess with the bandwidth. You know, we only have so much bandwidth in the house.
Right. And are you getting the TNT feed?
Yes. Yeah, you're getting
commercials.
No, you're getting the TNT feed during the game, but when you're not during the game, it's like the command center feed.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So, like what it would be like on watching a TNT game on League Pass. You can't do that, but imagine if instead of, the random highlights that they had in the middle, they had a little bit of TNT going on.
And if you were not in this experience, what would the experience of just watching the game part of it through the team's feed?
Through the team's feed, it was just a choppy, bad internet like kind of feed. Like, you know, imagine if you're trying to share a movie with somebody on Zoom. It's just like, it's not perfect. Yeah. It doesn't look great. But it's also like 15 to 20 seconds ahead of the TV screen. I was on FaceTime with some friends while we were watching the game. And I was consistently ahead of everybody else.
Wait a minute. You were in a social media experience during this game?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty crazy, right? I was sharing it off. Don't tell anybody.
Given the numbers, I'll probably never get offered this again. So I'm not really worried about it.
I think it was like you can't broadcast yourself on Twitch doing it, which I did.
Right.
I did make a phone call to a friend, which happened to be 8 friends on my basketball group chat.
That's fine. And if anyone has a replay on your DVR of the game, if you look at in the second half, the Lakers, I didn't see the first quarter of this game. So in the second half, the right side of the court on your TV, Casey's to the left, like, you'd be in the section where you would have been given inflatable things to flap for a free
throw. So it was my job to do this to distract Nuggets in the first half, and then It was my job to look strong when Dwight Howard made dunks.
So were you, is your whole 35 group, were they all Lakers fans?
Yes. Every single person was Lakers fan because they were all Lakers season waitlisters.
Ah, gotcha. So this might be, I mean, is it, would this be fun to watch if you had a good feed of the game?
Yes, 100%. I would absolutely do this if I had a good feed of the game. And next time, if I ever do it again, I would do it on my PC with where I can extend a window between two screens so that I could have the game on one side and the together view on the other side.
Oh, so actually, if they were two discrete windows in Mac, you could have done it. But it's one window.
It's one window.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Like imagine if you're in our Zoom meeting right now and you went to that's how it looked, where the left side was the audience view, the right side was the game.
So then why that makes me think, like, what about just having a Microsoft Teams group and have the game on your TV?
Yeah. People were doing that in our cohort.
Okay. Well, I was saying, like, for future games, that might be fun to do.
Yes, it absolutely could be fun to do. Then you'd have to deal with being 20 seconds behind the people that are watching the game with you.
I'm saying everybody would be doing it. Virtual fan experience.
Oh, got just it. For just the, to watch the game on Teams.
You and your friends from the FaceTime call, you all get in Microsoft Teams and you watch it on your TV.
Yeah, we could do that, or we could just get on Zoom instead of fucking Microsoft Teams.
Well, also but then you won't have the thing like you're sitting in the same Jedi Senate.
Well, Microsoft Teams isn't you can't do free stuff either. Like, you have to be a part of an organization to use Microsoft
Teams. Oh, yes. I had to join with my fake organization to download it.
Yeah, so if you download it without the fake organization, it doesn't let you test anything out, but it does let you open a link. We had to deal with all this because I got married on Microsoft Teams, and I was like, I don't know how to use it. I don't know what we're doing. So I tried beforehand, and it still didn't work. My mom still had the hardest time seeing it, and her internet froze for our entire wedding ceremony, which we have a video of the Microsoft Teams window. And it's very small. We're imagine we're this big in the corner. It's so funny.
Yeah. What's taking up most of the screen?
Yesenia, our deputy director of marriages in the county of Los Angeles. And then she's one half of the screen. The other half is mostly Elizabeth's mom, brother, and dad. And then my mom and her wife looking confused and frozen because their internet cut out.
So, I mean, the game was great.
The game was so fun. It really felt like everything that I was predicting about the series happened in this game.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Rockets and this.
Yes.
Because we last time we spoke, the Rockets were still competing.
Yes, they
and,
were.
And everyone kind of kept expecting the Rockets to turn it around, and they kind of never did.
And they were competing up until the end of game 4.
Yes, and then they kind of just had this slow exit.
They did not compete in game 5.
What was interesting about that series to me was, I think I was right and wrong about the series. The Lakers certainly out-rebounded the Rockets pretty handily. I forget, it was by 86 rebounds or something like that.
Yeah.
But it wasn't necessarily through... It's funny because I think the takeaway from that series is the Lakers won by going to small ball. Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee were never on the court. And, you know, they adapted and played with the Rockets style and beat them sort of at their own game kind of thing. And I think the Lakers made more 3-pointers than the Rockets in the series.
It's so funny.
I think that's kind of, I understand that point. But one thing is that the Lakers do have very good rebounding guards.
Yes, they do.
Rondo's a good rebounding guard. Actually, I don't know how KCP is, but also I think it's a bit of a stretch to say that the Lakers played small ball when you still have Anthony Davis on the team.
Yes.
And actually when you have LeBron James on the team, LeBron and AD on the court it's never really going to be small ball.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
That is not true about the 3-pointers. The Lakers scored 61, and the Rockets scored 75.
Did they take more? Or maybe it was in the last three games they got made more? Or not?
Yeah, probably.
They
shot better from three.
Uh-huh. Which is also not expected, because the Lakers sort of aren't a good three-point shooting team, really.
Yeah, no, they're not.
So, looks like my pick for champion is still probably not going to happen.
No, don't think so.
Since I picked the Rockets.
Yeah, you're probably out of luck on that one.
I was a little surprised. I guess I was surprised that... I was just surprised that it happened the way everyone thought it was going to happen. Like, basically everybody was like, well, they're giving up. James Harden's kind of going out without a bang. Did he have a good game seven? No, he and I can't remember which game he had a decent game out of the last three.
No, he did not have a good game seven.
So people were kind of like, well, here he goes again. He's quitting on the playoffs and he's, you know, it's going to end. Oh, yeah, right. Did he go 2-11 in the last game?
I'm checking it right now.
Because he has gone 2-11 in like three major playoff games in his career.
Amazing.
It was just weird in a way for it to not be a surprise that he just kind of like the Rockets kind of fade.
He went 2-11 in game four.
Okay.
But he went 12-20 in game five.
Okay. That's not... I mean, how many... Yeah. You got the... that's decent.
Yeah, that's good. He had a good game, and he was a minus 29.
And you know what? A year later, I looked at the stats, and generally, Russell Westbrook did shoot the ball better this year than he did last year. I still... You know, I... Like,
you think that's
because they
left him open, and he didn't do anything with it?
Well, that's a problem. So the biggest problem is that they still – those two players have still not figured out what they contribute when they're off the ball. Mm-hmm. And on the – when you need to load up on one player and then you give the defense a player that they don't have to guard from the perimeter, that's not – good when you have a coach like Frank Vogel. And my respect for Frank Vogel's defensive prowess over the season, but especially that series and the first game of this next series, mm-hmm. is very high right now.
Yeah.
And in a way, it does seem like he was kind of the perfect coach for this team, because in a way, a team with LeBron and AD doesn't... Sure, it'd be great if they had some, like, well-oiled offense that was a system offense and whatever, but like, you don't necessarily need a system offense for LeBron to get 30 points in.
No, you really don't.
But LeBron and AD and JaVale and Dwight and Rondo have the physical talent that if you have a focused defensive coach, they really can game plan for people in a very effective way. They game planned for the Rockets 3-point shots very well. And I thought tonight against the Nuggets that they did a very good job against, Jokic in particular.
Yeah. I mean, I think tonight for, you know, if we're going to start doing Denver talk, they did a good job against Jokic. Yes. But they also, Jokic kind of lost himself in the game tonight. It really felt like a lot of the things that happened to him were done by him, you know, his excessive fouling. You know, his inability to find the open man. He barely had any assists. The game was not artful on his end.
Yeah.
But there were a couple of times in that third quarter after he got his fourth foul where he clearly fouled a Laker and they didn't
give him a fifth foul. I was frustrated in a lot of ways because I do think that I mean, the Denver fans were they were like, the refs are in their pocket with the number of fouls he had got in the first half. But I think he got his fourth one pretty early in the second half.
He did.
And I was a little frustrated that the Lakers didn't go after him.
Yeah.
There were multiple possessions where somebody got into the lane and they just didn't go after pulling that fifth foul on him the way they could have. But there were genuinely like three plays that should have been fouls called on him. Especially the worst one was when he picked Alex Caruso and hooked his arm.
Yeah.
So that Caruso couldn't get around, and they called the foul on Caruso.
Yeah, that was so, how dare Caruso have arms that extend out.
Yeah, well, so in that sense, any Nuggets fan that complains about the refereeing, to me, Jokic shouldn't even have been in the fourth quarter. He should have fouled out in the third. So
I mean, he wasn't in the fourth quarter. They didn't play him in the fourth quarter.
They didn't play him at all?
Nope.
Oh, I thought they played him like two or three minutes or something.
I mean, I could be wrong.
He should have been out of the game. He should have fouled out of the game in the like 8 minutes left in the third or something. I actually think Jokic is a decent defensive player. We can talk about the Clippers in a second, but he played some decent defense against the Clippers. And also actually did some really good defensive rebounding in the Clippers series.
Yeah.
But what I realized tonight was that Dwight Howard is not now a great offensive center, but he is still an above the rim player.
Yeah.
And that is exactly the kind of player that you can attack Jokic with.
Yep.
Especially on backdoor screens and alley-oops and that kind of stuff.
Alley-oops, rebounding even.
Rebounding. Keeping balls alive rebounding. Even. Yeah. Just the activity that Dwight Howard had. I mean, this what's happened to the Lakers over the last 5 years is so strange, because now I root for Dwight Howard, and we can both agree that Rajon Rondo is the best Laker of all time.
All time, 100%. I mean, let's analyze Dwight Howard's two stints in the game. He played two stints. He played 8 minutes and 7 minutes. So 15 minutes, 16 and a half is what it says on Popcorn Machine. Plus seven in both of those. And he took a bunch of free throws because he got hacked a bunch in the first period. He got a bunch of rebounds. He scored a ton of points. He was impactful on offense and defense. He made Jokic feel crappy. Like he played basically after the first quarter, every minute that Jokic played almost. So he comes in and Jokic is terrible. Minus 13 he played the entire third quarter, minus 13 in the third quarter. And his stint minus six in the second quarter, and Dwight just ate him for breakfast. I do not expect that to happen every game, right?
No,
I expect Jokic to come back with some tricks and have some good games. But this was just an absolute shit game for Jokic.
I don't expect Jokic to have games like this. Maybe he'll have one more game like this if they scheme in a particular way. But I think the idea of always in the back of his mind thinking that Dwight's about to jump over him to go is a good thing. Like, we'll slow down rotations. We'll slow down help defense. Just there were lineups on the court where if LeBron or Rondo throws a lob, there's no one else that can go get the ball the way Dwight can.
Yeah,
on the Nuggets team, there wasn't anyone that could. So, I think they should, like, even if it doesn't always work, I think that threat should always be there. Yeah. And it's exactly the kind of attack that Jokic is not going to be good at defending. I don't think Dwight Howard should ever really have the ball backing it up for 5 seconds and trying to pivot for a hook shot or something like that. You know, I don't think that, like, I think that Jokic's decent at help defense, and he's actually, like, pretty good at protecting the rim against guards. He's not, like, necessarily a rim protector, but he was pretty good in the Clippers series at it.
Yeah.
I think in game 6 or 7, he had, like, 4 blocks or something, whatever. And he was good at mopping up the rebounds after those plays.
Yeah,
but this dynamism of like somebody jumping over you, I think is a great quality to add to just the threat level.
Yeah, who were our leading scorers tonight?
Oh, I want to say Anthony Davis had like 37.
He did have 37. Next leading scorer.
It's not LeBron had 15 and 12 or 12 and 15.
LeBron had 15 and 12. Yes.
Is he the next leading scorer?
Oh, no. Kentavious Caldwell Pope.
Oh, Lord.
How many did he have? KCP. He had 18.
There you go. About how many did Kuzma have?
Kuz had, how many did Kuz have? Kuz had 11. Kuz had 11.
Come on. Come on, Kuz.
Okay. Kuz busted the zone. Like, yeah. Kuz is a zone buster. That's exactly how they should be using him. Like, as a guy who can catch in the middle of the zone, quickly put it up at the rim. I thought he had a great game. You know, I mean, I'm out here getting Kuzma tattooed on my chest because I'm a Kuzma apologist. But, you know, even for a Kuzma apologist, that was a good Kuzma game.
I mean, when you get your first gold Lakers jersey, is it going to be a Kuzma jersey?
No, my first gold Lakers jersey is going to have my name and 52 on it because I won the Lakers win prediction.
Oh, that's right. 52.
Can you believe that I thought this amazing Lakers team was only going to win 52 games in a regular season?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, the tone of the bubble playoffs has been a little more defensive than I think we thought they were going to be. Even though, like, this is a high-scoring game, relatively, but the league has been regularly 110 to 130 points for the last couple seasons. And, like, the Nuggets did score 114 points, but it did really feel like they had shut down the Nuggets at one point. And also, this score is weird because the entire fourth quarter was garbage time.
Yes, it was. Nuggets went on a 13-3 and a 21-6 run in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Who gives a hoot?
I mean, like, at that point, Murray and Jokic and LeBron were not on the court. AD was on the court longer than I wanted him to be in that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's – just to me, like, I'm just points. Like
– He had to get those 4 points to make the 37 pop. You wanted the 37 to pop.
AD is just so physically talented but also just skilled. He has really good hands. And for someone as tall as he is, he's actually really good at picking up loose balls on the ground. There was one play where I was like, oh, Dwight Howard had good hands there. It was like a bobbled pass. My memory is that Dwight Howard's hands are not the softest hands.
No.
But he did have a good one. Anyway, and also, highlight of the night was Rondo's behind the backboard shot.
Where that was so cool. I also liked his bounce pass.
Oh, yes, the bounce pass.
Oh, so good. Okay, so, you know, we're late. These predictions don't, you know, count for anything anymore because we missed the first game. But I swear I was going to predict Lakers in six. That was my prediction here.
Uh-huh. I probably would have said the same thing. I actually don't think that the Nuggets resilience being 1-3 in series, I don't think that's going to apply in this series.
I don't think it's going to either.
I think that LeBron is too. I don't think at this point. First of all, I don't think the Nuggets are competition that's as tough as anything LeBron has faced. Like, I don't think they're like the Warriors were, or even the Celtics, or, you know, Toronto. I think they're a very good team, but I don't think they're talented enough for him to be denied a finals appearance.
Okay. How much of this do you think comes from your just hating the Nuggets?
I don't really hate the Nuggets.
Uh-huh.
I'm even kind of indifferent to Jamal Murray now.
Wow.
I just think they're a little – actually, I will say I'm actually probably more worried about the Nuggets over the next 5 years than I am – a lot of other Western Conference teams, but I'm not that worried about them this year.
Okay. That makes sense.
I think Mike Porter Jr. is like clearly super talented. In fact, I was thinking tonight. So I watch a lot of YouTube basketball. Michael Porter Jr. is the first like star or potential star that plays the way that YouTube basketball players play.
Oh.
Meaning jelly roll layups. And like, just his style is very much like YouTube channel basketball players.
Interesting.
I was watching one today. And conversely, I watch it. So in these YouTube channels, there's a lot of pickup basketball. There is the James Harden step back, the little hop step.
Yeah.
Is part of pickup basketball now in a way that it just didn't exist when we were growing up. Like no one did that. Probably because people thought it was a travel.
Yeah, because it is a travel. Yeah. Take that, Houston Truthers.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're on Steve Kerr's side there. It's just random pickup basketball footage. It happens constantly. To the point that when I see it, I'm like, I think I'd have to practice that to do that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't instinctively know how to do that. Anyway, I think Michael Porter Jr. is actually really good and really fun to watch. I just don't think he's like, you know, going to be consistent enough. I just mostly just don't think that LeBron is going to let an opportunity to go to the finals slip through his hands against an opponent that is good, but not anything historical in terms of what he's faced. I actually don't think any of the three teams left in the playoffs are as good as, I mean, they're certainly not as good as the Warriors teams that he beat or the Spurs team that he beat with the Heat. So, I mean, I feel pretty good about the Lakers' chances right now.
I also feel pretty good about the Lakers' chances against anybody left in the playoffs, because my team that I thought that was going to win bounced out by the Miami Heat.
You mean already, or I can't remember who you picked.
Well, I think I picked the Bucks.
Oh, you picked the Bucks. Yeah, that's right. So, and also, I think a lot of fashionable Eastern Conference pick was the Celtics.
Yeah, and you know, I guess we can talk about it now.
Sure.
The Heat Celtics, and I'm just going to get this one out of the way. My pick before the series was going to be Celtics in six.
I would have picked Celtics for sure. There's no way I would have picked the Heat. And Celtics in six can still happen.
It can still happen. It's doubtful. I think that, you know, knowing what I know now, I would pick Heat in six because I don't think that these first two games were anything to say, oh, the Heat are seriously better than the Celtics. Right. Uh-huh. I feel like that's not the takeaway from these games. The takeaway isn't they're so much better. The takeaway is they have performed better in clutch situations.
I mean, you could almost say the takeaway is like they're pretty close.
Yeah.
And because they're pretty close, it's unlikely that the team is going to win 4 out of 5 games.
Yeah, 100%. That's it. That's all I have now. Yeah, I think these teams are incredibly evenly matched. I think it's fun to watch somebody like Goran Dragic play high-level basketball in the playoffs when he clearly fucking wants to. Like, the man looks possessed out there. It's really cool to watch Goran Dragic do this.
I really like him as a player.
Yeah.
Actually, pretty much like most of the players on the Heat, and I'm not a big Jimmy Butler fan, but I like Dragic. I like Duncan Robinson. I like Hero. Of course, I just named three white people.
I like Jay Crowder.
I like Jay Crowder.
Bam Adebayo is so fun to watch.
I had a great block against Tatum late in game one.
That was such a cool block.
Are you worried at all about the Heat?
No. No, I'm not. Okay. I feel like, to me, the Heat have a couple more weapons than Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I think that I like the Jokic-Murray pairing more than I like the Butler-Adebayo pairing.
Yeah.
So I think that just that the, you know, the Dragic and then Robinson-Hero and then Crowder-Iguodala a little bit. Kelly Olynyk doesn't scare me. I mean, the person who scares me in the Heat the most is Eric Spoelstra.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, you know, the man knows LeBron.
Yes. I mean, that's going to be an interesting storyline. Either way, if the Lakers are in the finals, you have Lakers-Celtics, which is a great storyline, of course, or you have Lakers-Heat, which is LeBron's old team.
And Pat Riley. You know, mm-hmm.
Pat Riley saying like, there's a toughness to doing it by sticking to where you are. Yeah. And basically, like, he went in and gave a tough talk speech that people think. Well, LeBron was just like, whatever, I'm leaving. in the four teams that we have left, we do have at least three nerd coaches.
Yeah.
And I actually don't know about Mike Malone. He seems like he's a little more like Brett Brownie in terms of like being sort of a tough guy. But we kind of have three like cerebral nerd coaches in Spoelstra, Brad Stevens, and Frank Vogel.
Yeah, I wouldn't put Michael Malone as like a nerd coach. I would put him as like a gym coach.
He seems more like a Bill Fitch kind of,
like a no nonsense kind of wrestling coach.
You know, he seems like a wrestling coach.
See, like a no nonsense wrestling coach who's upset that there are interlopers trying to audit his wrestling class.
Let's see, Spoelstra, Stevens, Vogel. Pretty sure none of them have any pro experience, right?
You mean like playing pro?
Yes, playing pro. Like, I'm not even sure if they have D1 experience playing
pro. Spoelstra went straight to video. I can't remember.
Mike Malone, I'm curious to if he had any kind of playing career at all. Let's see. He played on the Loyola Greyhounds.
Oh.
But he played Loyola Maryland, which is different than Loyola Marymount.
Yeah.
So he did. He played in college. I don't know what level that is. Serbia.
Played in Germany.
Okay. But suffice to say that none of them is sort of the, like, they're all nerd coaches. Not me. anyway, I just think that's interesting. That none of the Doc Rivers is there. And also, I want to encourage everyone to go check out my Twitter for the basketball pun that I made this week.
Ooh.
Encouraging the Clippers to move to Texas, build an arena on the Colorado, and call themselves the Austin Rivers.
Boom.
do you want to talk about the Los Angeles Clippers collapse?
I would love nothing more than to talk with you about the Los Angeles Clippers collapse.
So a very, I love schadenfreude in sports. I love to visit the subreddits of teams that have lost.
Oh, this was so sweet.
And the funniest thing about the post game 7 reaction by the subreddit r/LA Clippers was that they went private for about 12 hours. And then when they came back, they flooded their subreddit with pictures of Clipper ships having nothing to do with basketball. Just to basically spam their forum so that no one could get in there to talk any shit.
Because I'll be honest with you, the shit talking that happened on Twitter after the Clippers lost was heaven. It was flowing in so many ways. I was so happy. Everyone was just partying. It was a party to just shit on the Clippers, and I loved it so much.
And by the way, by everyone, you do mean everyone, including from the highest professional levels of the game.
Yes.
So, like, there was no like brotherhood amongst players. Right away, CJ McCollum, and probably my favorite thing he's ever done. Still corny because he was plugging his wine while he did it. But insulted or tweeted at Damian Lillard to say, like, do you still have room in your villa? And then Damian Lillard tweeted at Patrick Beverley. And the Twitter feeds of Patrick Beverley and Paul George, I think to this recording, are still silent in response. And then, it's, once you see the pros do it, like, everybody's piling on at that point.
Oh, it was.
The memes were going.
People were asking Damian Lillard if he thought Paul George's off the side hit three was a good shot. It was good.
Looked good to me.
Just compilations of everybody saying the Clippers were the best team in basketball.
Yeah.
Just so many jokes about Paul George. So many jokes about Patrick Beverly, so many jokes about Doc Rivers,
mm-hmm.
How, you know, essentially this was the big win for Cali Rivers because, the guy who cheated on her, choked his team away a loss in a, playoff series, and they still haven't been to the conference finals. They're cursed.
Yeah, that's it's incredible.
Fantastic. I love it so much. It makes me so happy.
So I think that, you know, if Denver loses the series against the Lakers, everybody will basically just be like, that was a great run. You know, like you made it to the conference finals. That's really, you know, good for you. The Clippers, the amount of hostility they got after losing that was mostly self-inflicted. And also media, like you said, media overestimating how good they were. But like, it wasn't like the Clippers were a humble team this year. And I would actually say that, like, to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if they just ran it back, because it really was like the first year. It's like the first year that LeBron, Bosh, and Wade were together, they didn't win. I would say the talent assembly is still there, and that, like, just run it back and try it again next year, because also you don't have much choice.
Yeah, like, I mean,
there's not much, they can do. Yeah,
Marcus Morris is probably going to be gone. Trez and Lou, I believe, are both up for new money. Maybe.
Oh Lord, really?
I didn't know that. I think Trez might be still there, but Lou, this was Lou's last season.
Oh my goodness. By the way, I completely forgot that Lou Williams was a Laker.
Yes, he was.
Did he win a six-man award for the Lakers?
I don't know.
Lou has one more year.
Montrez does not have one more
year. Montrez does not. If they had to re-sign Lou Williams, I think that would actually be very difficult for them.
Yeah.
God, they're paying Patrick Beverly $13 million next year. I wouldn't be surprised if Marcus Morris ends up being a Laker next year.
Oh.
Just staying, because aren't they the ones that like to be together all the time?
Yeah, well, I don't expect Keith to be back with the Lakers.
Well, then they'll just sub one out and put the other in. Maybe they'll just switch teams. Maybe, you know what? Yeah. Maybe switch teams. Maybe they already have.
Oh.
I would say run it back. Also, they're just like, they have so much salary caught up in Paul George and Kawhi that it's not like they have. I think there's a lot of reactionary things of trade Paul George, fire Doc Rivers. I actually kind of think they should just not do any of that. They should just run it back.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what's going to happen. There's not much they can do about it. It's time to run it back, man.
I mean, they can definitely fire Doc Rivers, but
Kawhi Leonard came to play with.
You know what? Sneak in there, fire Doc Rivers, and hire Becky Hammond.
That's a good idea.
I think that'd be cool. I don't think that Becky Hammond would go for it.
No.
Seems like she's being groomed in the Spurs organization.
I would love if she was being groomed for the Spurs organization. That'd be fantastic.
It was surprising that Kawhi had such a bad Game 7.
Yeah, he didn't have a ton of bad games in the playoffs. He had a lot of really good games in the playoffs.
It's his worst playoff game in a while. Like, really his worst playoff game as, like, the marquee player. And it was interesting to see him in... People were sort of pointing out that this was the first time he was the alpha male player on a team that was supposed to win. So even all last year when he was with Toronto, it was, you know, they were never really expected to win, and they had their fair share of luck going into the finals against the Warriors in terms of injuries. Yeah. So this, I think, definitely hurt the feelings of, like, Kawhi being the best player in the league right now. And it certainly hurt Paul George's reputation as being even a top 15 player in the league, I would say.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think that, like, where would you put him in the league right now?
I really don't know. I mean, it's wild because he averaged 25 points a game in the regular season, you know?
Yeah.
Not too many people average 25 points a game in the regular season. Like, I'm not kidding. he was a top 10 scorer in the league and, you know, ostensibly a top 10 defender.
Yeah, that's sure.
What people would say.
Yeah.
And if you're a top 10 scorer and a top 10 defender, doesn't that make you a top 10 player?
Yeah, you would think. but I don't know that people would put him in the top 10 at this point.
Yeah, right?
You know, I think we're being increasingly exposed to the differences between these regular season and playoff perceptions. I would say right now, Giannis's reputation is relatively low, even though he just won a second MVP in a row. But like, you know, we've talked a lot about on this podcast about how the regular season and the playoff season are just different animals. Yeah. I mean, certainly Rondo is showing that. But it's getting harder and harder to evaluate these players because maybe there's just one kind of game, like James Harden's, that is, or Giannis's, that it, like I said a couple weeks ago, it's just annoying to play against on a regular season. You turn around, you played a game 2 days ago, you had like one film session to like look at what this guy is doing, and his style is such that it's just like impossible to play at maximum defensive efficiency against on a like turnaround basis like that. Yeah. But then like you bring it into the playoffs and Paul George this season averaged 20 points a game, shot 30, basically 40% from the field. That's not great. I mean, certainly lots of players would be happy to be like 20-5 or 20-6 player, you know, in the playoffs, but I don't think given his money and given his the reputation he wants to have and being someone that wants to be arguably 1A on a championship team, I don't think that's going to cut it.
During the
regular season, he averaged 21.5 points a game.
21.5. Okay. And so that puts him in the top 25 of scoring.
I don't know if it's such – is it? Do you think it's as simple a thing as like Paul George and Kawhi both don't seem like super assertive players in the clutch moments of a game?
Yeah. I mean – What does it mean to be assertive? Like, is it just taking shots? Is it just like, is it making good offense? Like that, like that's the thing I don't know.
I almost think like, so the question is for me, is there some element that your star player has to be willing to just break the offense and do whatever he wants in defiance of the coach at some point? Because I would say that most of the people that we consider superstars in the league have done that. In the playoffs and in the finals. Like the one play where Steph dribbled around Kevin Love a million times and like I'm sure people can think of the play that I'm talking about where he just dribbled around the court and then like threw up a three-pointer and it went in. Steve Kerr's face during that whole play was just like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? I'm sure that LeBron and Kevin Durant have the green light to kind of just go off script whenever they feel like it. I bet that Kyrie does. And I don't know if Paul George and Kawhi have that mentality. And so maybe that's a false, you know, concept of like what a winner is. Yeah. You know, I feel like Henry Abbott when I say that in the fourth quarter, you want Kevin Martin taking the last shot, not Kobe Bryant.
No. Yeah.
But, it's
the only truth.
Yeah. But really on the Clippers, the people that have that mentality are Lou Williams and honestly, maybe Patrick Beverley.
To have the mentality is not necessarily to earn the mentality.
Yeah, I think Lou has basically.
Is. Yes, he has.
Yes, and I think we discussed previously that Patrick Beverley is a better three-point shooter than I have given him credit for.
But he's also a better player in his mind than he actually is.
Oh, for sure. Someone on Twitter, I think, accurately said that Marcus Smart is who Patrick Beverley thinks he is.
That's a good one.
I mean, Patrick Beverley shot 36% from three this postseason.
Congrats, man. He did it.
But last year
they're gonna win the championship.
Last year he shot 5 3-pointers a game in the playoffs and made 43%. That's very good.
Great. That's really, really good.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he do that more often, huh?
Anyway, the Clippers still my second favorite team. Why not? I don't care.
Why not? Who cares? Who gives?
I do like Kawhi. I feel genuinely bad that he had a bad game seven.
Yeah.
And I think they should run it back.
Yeah, they should run it back, and they should get laughed at again. I'm really excited to laugh at them next season.
The question is, when we go to a Clippers game next season, will it be worse or better than the virtual fan experience you had tonight?
It'll be better because I get to laugh at the Clippers.
Uh-huh. By the way, did the Clippers win the game that we went to?
No,
I think they lost. I think the Lakers won, actually.
No, they won. Because we went to the Lakers won the game that we went to before the podcast started. But then the Clippers game that we went to, the Clippers beat the Brooklyn Nets.
Right. Did the Lakers beat the Celtics?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a great game.
Yeah,
that was when the drunk guy like fell on me. Like,
yes. Yeah.
Twice.
So fun.
Okay, so it doesn't really matter what our predictions are, but I do think the Lakers are going to win. I think – actually, I really don't – I'm not super confident that the Heat are going to win the series. But I will say that given how even they are, probably they will. I'm curious to see to what degree Spoelstra, if they face the Lakers, how much of a LeBron whisperer he is in terms of knowing how to defend him. Or how much of it is just like – I know him well enough to know that there's nothing we can do. So, like, let's just try to limit everybody else. But I think the closer and closer we get to LeBron getting his, what, fourth ring?
Yeah.
I think that this would be my hope as a Lakers fan, and this is the mirror image of my reservations about LeBron as someone who hasn't loved LeBron. My hope as a Lakers fan is that the times you watch the game and it's like, why doesn't he just barrel down the lane, do that spin, and get that layup every single time? No one can stop him from doing that. I hope that that feeling of intensity and commitment to every single play grows the closer he gets to that ring. And I actually do think that's what's going to happen. I will say, around the third quarter, beginning of fourth quarter of this game, there were a couple of plays where he just threw the ball away. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, why are you rushing down? And he threw like essentially like a... It was like he threw a football pass to one of the – you know what I'm talking about? He threw a pass to the left, and the guy caught it like it was a football pass.
Yep, yeah.
And I was like, you're just asking to stay in this game an extra 10 minutes and get – and, like, roll your ankle again.
Yeah, yes. I was so scared of that ankle roll. And then he just shrugged it off, and it was beautiful.
Yeah. Casey, do you have any shows this week?
I don't believe I have any shows. Do you have any shows?
I actually do have a show. Sunday, September 20th, and I'm going to look up the time. It's Baby Wants Candy. We are performing with the – let me see. an improv festival in Las Vegas.
Ooh, fun. The hub, the theater hub in Las Vegas?
Maybe.
I know somebody who helps put on shows there.
That might be right.
Vegas Theater Hub is the place I know.
Vegas Theater Hub Festival Improv. By the way, I'm very excited. I have a Wikipedia page now.
Ah, that's amazing.
Well, I don't know where I was asked about this. Let's see. Wait, hold on a second. Baby Wants Candy. Nope. You know what? Sunday, I'll put it in the description of the episode.
Amazing. I'll
look it up. So look in your podcast app and, you know, as you put in those new widgets on your iOS 14,
there is one more show that you didn't talk about.
Oh, what? Oh, you mean on Hulu?
Yes.
Everybody check out Pen 15 season 2 just launched. I'm in one episode. Looking pretty dapper with my mustache, I must say.
It was so good. Elizabeth said you looked so cute with your mustache.
Oh, good.
And I didn't tell her that you were going to be in it.
Oh, really?
So
oh,
cool. I made her watch the first two episodes with me today.
And, oh, cool.
Because we love Pen 15.
Pen 15 is a great show. You know, I do feel lucky to be part of shows that I actually like. That's just a nice extra feature. But actually, I thought season one was good, but season two is very good. Like, it feels more ambitious somehow.
Yeah. We only watched the first two episodes, so no spoilers.
Even the one I was in, it felt more ambitious in terms of like scoring and like the cinematic element. Like, there's a sequence in it where like we're in slow motion and I'm like yelling in slow motion. I was like, this is like very like epic in a way. Yeah. But anyway, season two, episode two, I'm in.
Yeah, you were fantastic.
Thank you very much. And they were great to work with. They were very cool. Yeah, that's about it. Look in the description for the Babe Wants Candy info. I would like to say a rest in peace to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, which we just sort of heard about before
today.
Yeah, like sad in every sense of the word.
Yep.
I kind of want to say that if you listen to our podcast and you support Trump, you should stop listening. I can't imagine you do.
But if it needed to be said, we've said it.
I don't know how you feel, Casey, but I'm a little bit in the mood of like, if you support Trump, then fuck you in every single way.
Yeah.
I don't know if you, I feel like you don't disagree with me on that
one. I do not disagree with you about that. It's a rough time in the old minds and hearts of anybody who gives a shit about anything.
Like, Trump, too, in a way, is like the Chandler Parsons of politics.
Him in the club with Mark Cuban. That's what it is.
You probably can. In fact, there's a non-zero chance that Donald Trump, Mark Cuban, and Chandler Parsons have been in the same strip club together. Non-zero.
Wow.
Casey, congratulations on being married.
Thank you very much.
Everyone send your... we should put your registry in the...
have people buy stuff. All you got to do is go to my website, CaseyandElizabeth.com.
Go to CaseyandElizabeth.com, buy them something. Hopefully you guys will add more. A lot of things I saw were sold out.
Yeah.
Buy some items for them. And everybody, let's root for this... how about this? Let's root for a good Lakers-Nuggets series.
Let's go, Lakers!
Let's go. And we'll see you all next time.